This message that the Lord has given me is a message that I could preach and would want to preach wherever I was called upon to share. I could go to any state, any city, any country, any age group. This is one of those messages that just needs to be stated over and over again because it brings us to a reality of broken people. And that's every single one of us. Every one of us. Coming to this reality is just life changing. Whether you're just trying to figure out if there really is a God that's alive and is capable of understanding who you are and is concerned about who you are, to the one that's been serving God longer than you can remember. Broken people. By definition, broken, when you look at it, some of this just really speaks. One definition of broken is fragmented. Because a lot of times when we just think of broken, we think of something shattered and no good. But broken means fragmented. And for many of us, we say, now that describes me. I'm on, off. I'm good today, not so good tomorrow, terrible the next. I'm excited about the things of God one moment, and I get so mad at something else and forget who He is. Just fragmented relationship. Another description is weakened in strength. So again, broken, but still moving, but in a weakened state. Don't have the vigor. Don't have the speed, don't have the acumen to do what I typically do. Something's not quite right. Another description is out of service. And I think we've all been there, haven't we? Some days we just can't get it going at all. And sometimes in our worship, sometimes in our service unto God, our relationship with God. Sometimes it's like, okay, I am going to get in the Word of God, open it up, and it's like every page is blank and nothing, nothing is speaking to me. Get on my knees. I go in the backyard, just like the video. Where are you, God? Another description is, and I think this one is so spot on, not properly functioning. Functioning, but not properly, just kind of sputtering, kind of missing out, just kind of. Remember the old Mazda commercials? But this describes all of us. C.S. Lewis described the culture, the world. He said, I'm not going to choose the word broken. I love this. The world's bent. Because in his mind, I'm sure broken again seemed to be an end. But he realized it's not an end, but there's something severely wrong. It's not straight any longer. It's not correct. It's not proper. 1 John, if you'll turn with me. 1 John chapter 1, stand with me as we read God's Word together. Man, this is just powerful stuff. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If, a lot of ifs, we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You may be seated. The sin factor. We know it's missing the mark. We know that we're aiming at something and we miss it. The sin factor tells me that I, at times, it's like a target. I'm close, but not quite there. I've shared this many, many times, and there's always a new listener. Again, this is that target that we all know so well. The truth is every circle in it beyond the bullseye is called sin one, sin two, sin three. It's an archer's expression of, you know, sometimes how many would admit you've sinned so bad you missed the whole target? And at other times, you're so close, but it's not the bullseye. You've sinned, you've erred, you've missed the goal. All have sinned and fallen short of the bullseye, the glory of God. But sin as a noun simply says it's, we all get thrown under the bus, and I know about that, I'm a bus driver. As a noun, it simply says it's a basic trait of human nature to sin. Sins of commission, sins of omission. Things I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did it anyhow. I wanted to do it. They told me I shouldn't do it, but I wanted to do it. Sins of omission, things I meant to do, procrastinated, missed the time, missed the opportunity. It's just too late. Things I intend to do, but I got busy doing other things. Sins of omission. You see, it is describing all of us. We're not properly functioning. We're broken. And sometimes totally out of order, just not working at all. So with this basic trait of humanity, then follows this quicksand that we fall into. It starts sucking us in, and it's the belief that there's nothing that I can do about it. Because if we're all broken, if we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory, you know, we're all there. I mean, my sin issue is biological. It's been passed down. Well, we can find science that will back that statement. Mine's psychological. Mine is social. All these factors figure in. And so then we fall into the deepest trap of all this, and therefore, I can't be held accountable for my own actions. Because, hey, what good is it? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. It's a basic trait of humankind, so I can't do anything. You can see now why this message always has to be preached and continuously preached and can be preached anywhere, because we're all broken. Sometimes we got it going well, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't even recognize that we got a chink in our armor. Sometimes we can't tell that our attitude's just a little sour. Our tongue's just a little sharper today than it was an hour ago. We have a lot of broken relationships. So again, this quicksand, it just keeps sucking us down in. Back to Exodus chapter 34, most of you, if you know any Bible, know the story of the Ten Commandments and how they were formed. And we see that Moses goes up on Sinai, the mount, and he receives directly from God these commandments. And God carves out the stone tablets and writes upon them and gives them to Moses. Moses no sooner is descending off the mountain than he hears some kind of sound that's not quite right. It's not properly functioning right. It's something's off, and he gets down. The people already are in great sin. They have molded a golden calf to worship after God has done so much for them. Moses gets ticked off and throws down these tablets. And, of course, then there is this judgment of God. And now, is it all over? Exodus 34 picks up where God speaks to Moses. Moses says, I want to see your glory. I want your presence. And God says to him, okay, this time you go out and cut the stone tablets. that you broke. And I will write upon them. Does that not give a mental picture in your mind of you? How many times you've had a wonderful experience with God, maybe even today, say, man, the praise and worship time is wonderful, fabulous. I did feel the presence of God. And, oh, God handed me these things, and then something happens, and it gets broke. And God says, okay, you're coming to me again, but this will be a little different than the first time. You need to do something. You cut the stones out. Pastor, this is good stuff. This is hitting the bullseye. This is where I stay. How many tablets have I broken? Confession time. As a pastor, how many times have I broken something God's given me because you people tick me off? You can say that when you've been pastor as long as I have. Because you know I'm telling the truth. God, these people you've given me are driving me crazy. Man, I feel bitter already. '90s night, I thought about that coming tonight. I can't go back to '90s. I'd have to grow hair again. In the '90s, I was youth pastoring here. I had a full head of black hair. '90s. Exodus 34 describes God speaks to Moses, and he speaks to him something that we experience. He said, I'm willing to forgive your iniquities. We see the willingness in God's heart to forgive us. He said, but don't get it wrong. Those who don't repent, I will visit the iniquity of the fathers to the third and the fourth generations. How many have said, yeah, this has been a long-standing issue in our bloodline. This is back to the basic trait. This is back to, man, this, we've always been guilty of this. We've always done this. We've always, if I ask how many would follow the same, Pastor, in my family, we're a bunch of hotheads. We got hot tempers. Don't raise your hands. There'd be some hands going up. You'd feel like the fans were on, blowing. Man, this is good stuff. It's speaking to us, and he comes back to us, and this sage old pastor, John, the last surviving of the original band, he's been around long enough, he's seen the next generation and the next generation coming along, and he's telling them, if we confess our sins. There's been a lifeline thrown to us in this quicksand. If we confess our sins, he hasn't changed. He's faithful, and he's just to forgive us, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But you see, we have to be willing to admit, I've sinned. David, in his great sin, comes back and said, God, it's against you and you alone I've sinned. I mean, that's where everything went wrong. I got out of your will. I've got out of your presence. I've got out of knowing you. I got caught up in what I wanted to do. I have to admit that I'm not doing things your way, I'm doing them my way. We have to submit to God's authority. Yesteryear, the Bible describes so many animal sacrifices proving how often brokenness happens, how often sin happens. Can you see the line of people in line to sacrifice an animal in their place? Can you see the blood puddled up around the brazen altar out in the courtyard? Can you see the buzzards circling? The stench of sin. Nobody wants to be, it's an ugly scene. I don't want to be around it. And yet we have a God that's willing to meet us there. This confession is the beginning. It's the lifeline. If we confess our sins, He is there faithful. Somebody needs to hear this today. Because you're like, I'm just going through the motions. I don't know if He's really forgiven me. I've asked Him, but I don't feel Him like I used to. Surely there's nobody else here that's done what I've done as many times as I've done it with all the warning, and I've still done it, got involved in it. I am one hot mess. I'm broken. I am not right. If we confess, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. And so I got thinking of confession moves on beyond just going privately in a booth, but getting out there in a circle. We know about groups that meet, AA groups, SA groups, NA groups. I invite of all us to go to a meeting today. It's what we actually do every time we gather. It's called the BA meeting. It's not bad attitude. It's broken anonymous. Every one of us. The strength of these other groups, they've learned if we keep meeting with each other, encouraging, come on, somebody. How many times have I said it just to provoke thought? AA does church better than we do a lot of times. Because you can get real and you can get honest and say, I got an issue. And that knows other people have similar issues. I don't feel all alienated and alone. And there's somebody here willing to listen to my story. There's somebody willing to reach out to me. There's somebody willing to sponsor me. Oh, come on, somebody. Told you this is good stuff. I'd preach it anywhere, at any time, any place. It's the ongoing picture. Welcome to Grace Life BA meeting today. For many of us with some age on us, not that it was ever intended, but years ago in church, it was like, okay, I'm going to wear my best clothes. I'm going to have my game face on. I'm going to come in, and I no one will ever know I'm struggling with anything. Come on, somebody. I love it that we've got to the place where we don't celebrate sin, but we understand it's at the door.
Yes, it is.
God meets with Cain and says, the beast is encroaching at the door of your life. I'm warning you. You know what? He's at your door too.
Yes, he is.
Ready to take you down. How many knows you've got an enemy? And he's come to kill. We know this. So we come together. Let's have a BA meeting right here, ladies. Join hands. You want to join in? Are you broken too?
Yes.
Yeah. You're not perfect.
No.
You look perfect.
Mm-mm. I may look perfect, but you're not.
See? Look at the bond here. How close we've got. I can see the color of your eyes. I can see the wrinkles on your face. I can do that to Lois. She loves me. She's known me a long time. I could meet with this one right here. Oh, my goodness, if I could tell you what I know about her. And we're not even going there. God's still willing to meet with us. Broken. Not the first one of us perfect. Striving for it. Aiming for that target. I want to hit that bullseye every time. Some of you are natured like me. I could have my quiver full of arrows, 12 of them, and hit that bullseye 11 times. But if that 12th one, or somewhere in the process, I get off a little bit, that's all I think about. Is the one I missed. Anybody else with me? Yeah, you're just stupid as I am. You're just as broken. So do we just stay here? No, we recognize, like in any of these other meetings, no, the more that I meet, the more that I'm accountable, the more that I know. Man, that sounds good. So what's next is the question beyond confession. To know Him. To be in His Word and know His commandments. That's why God was willing to go the second time, get another set of tablets here, and I'll write on them again, because what just happened is proof they'll do it again and again and again and again if they don't know my commandments, if they don't know my word, if they don't know my heart, if they don't know my character. They'll keep failing. Paul writes, he said, to rely on the power of the Spirit of God, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might, His Spirit moving. I'll close with this. Galatians 5, it talks about fruit of the Spirit, but it tells us to walk in the Spirit, and therefore you won't satisfy the lust of the flesh. Matter of fact, I could go back to 1 John. We finished at verse 10, but chapter 2, verse 1 says, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Limus, you know what that means? Good to say your name out publicly. We don't have to sin. We don't have to miss the mark. It's easy to do, and if we get out of focus, if we get out of alignment, if we get caught up, get distracted, it can happen. But he said, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. In other words, there's a better way. To know me, to grow in me, to know His word, to know His heart, to know His spirit. But you'll notice these steps. Sheila, I'm going to invite you to do something that probably will prove my point. I'm not a ballroom dancer.
No, he isn't.
Did you hear? No, he isn't. God love him. My feet are broken. They don't know which way to go. But here's what verse 25 says of Galatians 5. Now, you stepped on my toe.
Yes, I did. Sorry.
I don't think you call this dancing yet.
I don't either.
He said, if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 25 says, oh man, write it down. And if we live in the Spirit, we can stay in step. So let God take the lead. I'm doing pretty good.
Yes, you are.
Where's the Church of God gone to? We're dancing.
I know. I'm praying.
They're wearing funny clothes, 90s. Stand with me.